Hola, hola. Hey, I'm Natalia Saldarriaga, and this is Perfection Mythbusters Podcast. How are you? Who's connected? Let's see who's connected. Who is there? Say hello, hello. I've seen some comments from Dieter. Hi, Dieter. Hello, hello. So let's start. Because we're a little bit late.
We are a little bit late. We had
We
some
are a little
technical
bit late. Yeah, I had some technical resistance, but here we are. There's Christopher Harrington. Hi, Christopher. There's Ale Villa saying hola. So you have people from Latin America listening to you. Hello,
Wow.
hello. There's Simeon saying hey. Hi, Simeon. Hi, Christopher. Hello, hello. Okay, so we're gonna start now.
Okay.
So yeah, today I am with an Irish friend called Nigel Miller. So you're from Wexford, near Dublin. So Nigel is an author of the book How to Remove Negative Beliefs and Free Your Mind. Very interesting. And he's also the host of the Journey Within podcast, and he explores the link between our inner and our outer worlds. And Nigel is gonna talk about his adventure and what he thinks about perception, about perfectionism, and about the law of attraction. He has a lot of experience with it. So welcome, Phoenix. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you for having me on, Natalia. I really appreciate the invite. Thank you so much.
Nigel, so happy to have you here with us. We're struggling with technology here, but we are here. We did
Yeah,
it, so
absolutely.
I'm very happy for that. How are you, Nigel? How
Very
are
good, very good.
you
Excited to get into the conversation with you, Natalia.
doing?
The
Yeah.
last we had a conversation, I interviewed you for my podcast, and we got so into the conversation, we got so excited and so revved up during the conversation. It was so energizing. So I'm looking forward to doing that again with you, because
We will. We will, Nigel. So, is there a way to say hello like in an Irish way? Sorry, I'm going with the cliches. I know I'm playing with the cliches.
Konasatatu, how are you?
Wow, that was hard to
Diaguit.
understand.
So Diaguit is hello.
Okay.
And then
Diaguit.
Konasatatu is how are you? That's funny that you're asking me that, because I was like, I couldn't think for a minute. I was like, I couldn't remember because I haven't spoken Irish in years.
Wow. So say hello again in Irish. Say again.
Doing.
I couldn't understand. Say it again. For
So Diaguit.
Diaguit.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's kind of hello. I think it is hello anyway. I think it is. Diaguit. And then
Okay.
Kunas Atatu is how are you?
Okay. Diaguit
Diaguit.
then. Okay, Nigel. So tell us, you have been like in a journey of self-discovery. And that's why you wrote a book. That's why you created your podcast. And you talk a lot about perception. How would you define perception? Let's start by that.
Define perception. Perception is the way that we process our experience of reality. It's the way that we, it's the focal point through which we perceive our everyday experiences. So you can either have a negative bias perception, which essentially you're kind of looking for all the threats in your environment and you're kind of looking for all the kind of, the negative things that might be able to harm you, or you can have a positive bias perception, which is the opposite, where you're looking for the good in your environment. You're looking for the things that can help you. So perception is very much, it's kind of like the rule book that we have in our lives. I mean, it's the way that we perceive a situation. I mean, you could have two people in one situation, the very same situation, like maybe on a roller coaster or something like that. You got two people going on a roller coaster. One person loves it and the other person absolutely hates it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, me personally, I love roller coasters. I really enjoy it. I love the craziness of them. I love when you're just like, going 120 miles an hour and it's crazy. I find peace in that madness. I find peace in that moment of craziness. I don't know what it is, but for me, like, I actually find that calming. And a lot of, I suppose I am a bit of an adrenaline junkie in that sense. But yeah, I mean, perception is everything. Perception is your own rule book for how you experience life, and that's why I'm so passionate about perception, because I believe You know, I've just many times in my life when I look back of experiences that I've had, and then I look back a few years later and I look back at it in a totally different way. And it's like, it might've been a struggle or a really like bad experience that I went through when I was younger. But when I look back at it now, I can see all the good that's come from it. You know, I can see all the positive experiences that have come as a result of that negative experience. So for me, that's why, you know, that's why perception is so important, because it empowers you. It empowers you to see things the way that you want to see them in order for you to help yourself, you know, kind of live a better quality of life.
So can you give us an example of your journey?
Let me see. Anything I've done, let's say, for example, like something recent, like, so for example, my podcast. Okay. So when I launched my podcast, right, myself and Natalia, for anyone who's listening, we did a course with London Real. Shout out to Brian Rose at London Real and Christina and Renee as well, and Francisco. Yeah. They helped us get through that course. It was fantastic. But yeah, so I mean, like when I was doing launching the podcast, I was so scared. Like, I mean, I was like, oh my God, a podcast, and I'm going to be putting my voice out there and people are going to be hearing me, and what are people going to think about me, and, you know, are people going to judge me, and all this kind of negative self-talk that was going through my mind. And, you know, when I actually put out the first episode then, and then I had all this positive feedback, and people were like, oh my God, well done, that's great, I'm really happy, you know what I mean? They were like, oh, that's fantastic, I really learned some things from the interview and stuff like that. So it was kind of like a case where I was like, what was wrong with me? Why was I so afraid? And I just find that a lot of times in life, we're afraid to do things mm-hmm. that are really, really good for us. And we stop ourselves from doing them. But as soon as we take that little step, that little leap of faith and actually do what we're afraid to do, it can be so rewarding, because you look back and go, what was wrong with me? You know, and that's again, comes back to perception again. It's like your perception beforehand is that you're afraid of it. It's a big thing. It's a big deal. And then when you do it, and then you've done it, and then you look back and go, it really wasn't a big deal. Do you know?
Definitely. And do you think that there is a link or a relation with the perfectionism, with the term perfectionism and perception?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, perfectionism, it was funny because you were asking me this question earlier and I was trying to define, you know, what perfectionism was to me. And I think perfectionism, a lot of times, you know, it's important to have standards, okay? So it's important to have a certain level of standards in your life, okay? But what I find a lot of times is perfectionism can nearly stop you. It can cripple you from taking action. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times where people use perfectionism, and this isn't something that's brought up a lot, but people want to feel perfectly right before they take action, right? Before they do something new in life, they want to feel right before they do it. They want to feel ready, okay? But the thing is, you know, you never feel ready. You know, you're never going to find the perfect feeling for you to take that action towards whatever it is that you want to do. You've got to take the action first. And as you're taking the action, then the feelings will come as proof of taking the action. So for me, perfectionism is, it's good to have standards, but don't let it cripple you. You know, now you could start something and it mightn't be perfect at the start, but as you continue to work on it and build it and build it and build it and get better and better and better, then you can aim towards perfection. But for me, perfection is a concept. It's an idea. It's an idealization to strive towards. But don't allow it to cripple you and to hold you back. Because a lot of times people will use perfection against themselves. And they go, like me, for example, I was interviewing someone for my podcast earlier today. And he was like, are you going to put this up on Facebook, this video on Facebook? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't really put up videos on Facebook because I don't think my podcast is that professional enough. Yeah, you know, I was saying, I'd love to have a big studio with all these microphones and everything's all fancy and stuff. Yeah. And he's saying, well, hang on a minute. He says, it's about the content, isn't it? And I was like, do you know what? You're right. You're so right. It's about the content. It doesn't matter about, you know, the quality. As long as the quality of the content is good enough, that's fine. So someone like me now talking to you about perfectionism, I suffer from perfectionism all the time. You know, yeah. Every single day, I'm always, you know, using against myself. So as I speak to people now listening, I'm also talking to myself. You know, I think it's a good thing to have. Like, I'm a perfectionist is a good thing to have, but just don't use it against yourself. Do you know what I mean? I hope that makes sense.
It plays with perception as well. It's how do you perceive yourself? How do you perceive the situation? Is it good enough? Is it not good enough? Is it?
Yeah, and you're questioning yourself, and then you question yourself, and is it good enough? And then, you know what I mean? But I mean, at the end of the day, if you're doing something with passion and you're doing it with something with, you know, belief that you think it's going to be good for people, well then, you know, just go ahead and do it. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. And as you keep doing it, you're going to get better at it anyway. So, do you know what I mean? So eventually, you know, it'll be close to perfect, but just, yeah.
And how this is this all related with the law of attraction? Because you know a lot of the law of attraction.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course, because so a lot of times if you're trying to create something new in your life, or you're trying to manifest something into your life, if you want everything to be perfect, mm-hmm. and you're getting certain things that are coming into your reality that are helping you, you know, stepping stones towards what you want. If you want everything to be perfect, a lot of times you can deny yourself the manifestation of what's coming into your life because you're not recognizing it. And the big thing about the law of attraction is gratitude. You have to be grateful for what you have first in order to get more of what you have. And a lot of times people don't realize that. Perfectionism and gratitude, sometimes perfectionism can work against gratitude because you want everything to be perfect in your life. So you're dissatisfied with your surroundings and your environment, and you're always looking at what's wrong. So because you want everything to be perfect, but I mean that goes the opposite way. Then that actually works against you as far as the law of attraction goes. So again, yeah, it comes back to gratitude. Like perfectionism can interfere with your gratitude, so you need to have a balance with that. You know,
how do you get that balance yourself?
Just reminding yourself every day that you are living in a free society. You've got a roof over your head, you've got water, you've got electricity, all these little things that we take for granted every single day in Western society. I was talking about this to someone the other day, and it was like, can you imagine going back 100 years, right? Going back to, you know, whatever, 100 years ago, okay? And having to live there for a month, okay? Can you imagine not having your cell phone, not having the internet, not having, you know, all the things you take for granted now? If you had to go back and live, you know, 100 years ago for a month, imagine coming back to this time now after that. Can you, it would be like going to paradise. Can you imagine? Imagine how much more appreciative you would be of things that you have now. And I think it's all about perspective. You know, you have to get perspective on things. So in order to be grateful for what you have in your life, you have to look out and see, you know, there's people all around the world who are a lot less fortunate than you are, you know, and you have to realize that everything you have in your life is a blessing. And the more that you understand that, you can feel that gratitude, the more you're going to create more blessings in your life, you know. So it's just so important. I mean, for me, that's been my experience anyway.
And how do you change your negative behaviors then, or your negative thoughts, or this negative perception of things?
Negativity is something that we've been raised with. You know, by the time you're 7 years of age, I think we've heard the word no about 300,000 times. Mm-hmm. So negativity is something that's ingrained in us. Now, it's not necessarily a bad thing because it's necessary for survival. Okay, you need to be able to, you know, understand the difference between something that's a threat and something that's not. But for me, exercise is one thing that is so underrated. People do not realize the mental health benefits of exercising, you know, going for a run or whatever it is, whatever exercise you like to do, just sweating, getting your heart rate up, you know, getting your cardiovascular system working is such a massive, massive thing against negative thinking and negative thoughts. So that's one thing, exercise. And two is just, you know, positive suggestions, positive messages, you know, positive videos. Like there's motivational videos on YouTube now. I actually sent this to my friend the other day because he didn't know about them. And there's these incredible motivational speeches now on YouTube that you can listen to, and you can literally play like 10 episodes, you know, 10 videos in a row, just these positive messages, constant positive motivational messages. And by the time, like, I listen to these kind of things when I'm going for a run. And by the time you finish your run and you've listened to 10 of these videos, I mean, you're on fire. You know, you're ready to take over the world. Because you're not thinking on the level that you're accustomed to thinking negatively. Do you know what I mean? So it's about understanding that you have the resources now with the internet to expose yourself to materials, okay, that can change your mindset, that can create new neural pathways in your brain, that can allow you to shift your consciousness up to the next level of being more positive and believing in yourself more, you know, encouraging yourself more when you go out into the world, all these different things. So, I mean, the supply of these things now is infinite. So that would be the second thing. Positive messages, you know, whether it's videos, whether it's, you know, memes on Facebook, whether it's joining groups, the law of attraction groups or positive thinking groups or whatever it may be, just expose your mind to positivity. You know, it's so important. And then three would be the people that you associate with, you know, the friends that you create relationships with. So important. I mean, they say that, you know, you are the average of the five people that you associate with mentally, you know, physically, financially. So wow. If you're hanging around negative people and you're wondering why you're thinking negatively about stuff, well, have a look around. You know what I mean? Now, a lot of times we can have family members that we love and we care about in our lives, and it's very difficult to obviously turn around and say, oh, I don't want to spend time with you, you know. So, but you have to kind of start using, like, you know, the internet and Facebook and all the social media platforms. You can connect with people all around the world who are, you know, have positive mindsets, and, you know, as I said, you can join groups and stuff like that. So for me, yeah, that's been a big thing in my life, you know, in the last kind of 6 months or so, just changing my social circle and you know, being just the easiest way to do it is just when you're around people that you feel energized with, that's a good sign. You know, if somebody energizes you and makes you feel good about yourself, that's a sign saying, okay, that's a positive person. You know, they make you feel good. If somebody doesn't do that, well, then, you know, they're not helping you that much. So that would be the three things.
Definitely. And tell us a little bit about your book. Why did you write it? Why was it so deep? Like, why? When did the idea come from?
Okay, so basically when I was 20, I'm 36 years of age now. When I was 20 years of age, I was going through a really, really bad time. I'd fallen out with some friends, you know, just going through a really, really dark time. And I was in a bookshop waiting for a bus. And basically I was kind of saying to God or the universe, like, please give me something, please give me some answers. You know, I was looking for answers. You know, I'd never read a book before. But all of a sudden this book jumped out off the shelf at me. It was Deepak Chopra's Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. And I was reading the book and I didn't understand any of the language in the book. I had no idea what the concepts meant, but there was something kind of energetically that I felt from the book. Like, I felt like it was right. Do you know what I mean? It was, mm-hmm. it kind of resonated with me. So I read that book anyway, and it literally just blew my mind. Like it literally, it was like a supernova star, you know, exploding in my mind. Like, just this massive, like, explosion of consciousness. Like, all this, it was like all the things that we think about, you know, why am I here? What's the point of, you know, what's the point of the world? What's it all about? You know, all these types of questions. When I read that book, those questions were answered, you know, at that point in time. So basically, you know, after I read that book, I made a promise to myself. I said, one day I'm going to create that experience for somebody else, right? Wow. As that experience of, you know, expanded awareness or expanded consciousness. So that was the seed that kind of I planted. When I was 20 years of age, I had no experience with writing. As I said, I could hardly even understand the book that I read. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I made that promise to myself. I made that promise to myself, you know? And I said, one day I will write a book like that. I will help people. And then when I was 30 years of age then, a similar thing happened again. I kind of was changing my social circle. And I read Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now and also his other book, A New Earth. And as I was reading those books, I had similar experiences, kind of similar mind-expanding experiences that I'd had 10 years before. So after I finished reading those books, I was like, do you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to write my own book.
That's the time.
Yeah. So, like, you know what? I'm 30 years of age now. You know, when you hit 30, when you're in your 20s, 30s, like, oh, you know, I'm getting old when I'm hitting 30. I find that laughable now when I look back. But so basically, yeah, I was like, okay, so I'm 30 years of age, and you know, I need to do something. So I just decided writing the book then, and so I decided to write it, and I basically the first two chapters were kind of like about psychology and how we're raised in society to, you know, we're raised by our teachers, our friends, our parents, or, you know, people in society kind of raise us to think the way that they think about reality. And so a lot of times, you know, if, you know, you've got people who kind of, they've never kind of done anything, you know, amazing in their life, or they've kind of, you know, they've never kind of, you know, strived for more in their life. So a lot of times we kind of get these limited messages that there's only so much we can ever do with our lives. You know, we kind of get these limited messages that we can only sort of get to a certain level. So that's what I started the book out about, basically psychology. And then I kind of got deep into the spiritual concepts then about the third or fourth chapter, and gotten into, you know, universal consciousness and meditation and, you know, perception and all that type of stuff, and how our beliefs affect our reality as well. Mm-hmm. Very important, because beliefs are, you know, they're the foundation for what you allow yourself to experience in life. Like, they're kind of like your rules of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so whatever you believe is possible in your life is down to your beliefs, you know, because it's, you know, believing what's possible. And that's what I always say, you know, you've got to believe in your dreams, you've got to believe in your passion, you've got to believe in that life that you wish to live, because, you know, then you're creating that energetic attraction towards that life. You know, you're creating that energy, that passion, that drive within you. So yeah, so that's basically what the book is about, you know. And the crazy thing is, it took me a year to write the book. It took me 3 months to pluck up the courage to release it to the public.
Wow.
I was scared. I was like, oh my God, what are people going to think? I was like, oh, they're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think I'm weak-minded. They're going to think this, that, and the other. But you know what? The day after I posted it on Amazon, this guy from America, from the US, sent me this absolutely beautiful review. Like, he basically said, oh, changed my reality. Thank you so much. You've changed my life. You know, all these beautiful messages. And I swear, like, when I got that review, I was like, oh my God. It actually happened. Like, and it wasn't about me, like me being a great writer and all that. It was nothing to do with that. It was to do with the fact that I had that intention to create that experience for someone else all those years ago when I was 20 years of age. And when he sent me that review back, I knew I'd done it.
Wow.
I've done that. I created that experience for another human being, that same experience of expanded consciousness, expanded awareness, understanding of, you know, the universe and reality and why things are the way they are and stuff like that. So that was the most rewarding thing for me. You know, it was that. It wasn't even about, you know, money or recognition or any of that type of stuff. It was just about the pure intention of creating that positive experience for someone and to have that validated back. You know, somebody being grateful for something that you're creating for them is such a thrilling, you know, experience, you know, for me. I mean, I just absolutely adore it. So, and it's the same reason I started the podcast again, exactly the same. The podcast is just an extension of the book, except I get talk.
But you're like, good with that. You're good talking.
There's no shortage of talking from me. But, so basically that's kind of the story behind it, you know.
That's great. It's inspiring. I mean, we can do it. Even if we think we cannot do it, even if we think we're not enough, we can do it, whatever we want. And that goes with perception again.
It's all perception. That's a crazy thing. And yeah, I mean, we in life, we put ourselves down so much. I mean, we are our own worst enemies. I mean, there's nobody else going to beat you up worse than yourself. Nobody else. You might think in your mind that it's people out there, but really in reality, it's not. It's yourself. Because a lot of times you're creating those projections of those people out there. What they think of you. You're creating them. You know, and I say this to myself all the time. Like, I'll have a stream of thought about something, and or maybe about people and negative thoughts and stuff. And then I'm like, hang on a minute. I'm creating this. I'm creating this scenario in my mind. They're not doing anything. They're living their lives. They're worried about what other people think of them. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, it's perception. That's why perception is so important, you know. And it's something that I kind of coined a phrase there recently. Like, you know the way they have emotional intelligence?
Mm-hmm.
So my one is perceptual intelligence.
Wow. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Wow. The scoop. The scoop.
But that's what it is. Perceptual intelligence. It's having the ability to, you know, perceive your experiences and perceive things in a way that, you know, serve you and serve other people around you, you know? Because when you master your perception, you master your life. Think about it. That's how you experience life. You know, and this is a lifelong thing. It's not like I'm not sitting on a mountaintop here going, you know, I know it all. I don't. Trust me, I don't. But this is what I've learned along my way, you know, along the way. And so perceptual intelligence. Start to cultivate your perceptual intelligence and your emotional intelligence. And it will give you so many opportunities in life. It will give you, you know, such incredible experiences with people, especially developing relationships. I mean, Natalia, you know, how many times have I spoken to you? Like, this is our second interview, you know? And how long have I known you? About what? Since we did that course, about 2 months? Yeah,
2 months.
And it's like we've known each other our whole lives.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I haven't even met you in person, but it doesn't matter. Do you know what I mean? And we get each other excited because... Exactly. And this is what it's all about. It's about energy. It's about connection. It's about, you know, vibrating and resonating with people around you in the world that are on a similar wavelength to you. And there's people out there, there's so many people out there, like, you know, that think that way. You know, you just got to look for them. You got to reach out for them. You got to, you know, just put yourself out there because the rewards are infinite.
I know. And can you give us an example of you manifesting something like incredible, like magic with your perception? You have. With your podcast, you have.
Let me think. Okay, well, I'll give you one example, right? The last few weeks, I did an interview there, a guy in the US, Tony Doyle, mm-hmm. and he's a law of attraction specialist. You know, he's a transformational coach, and he's also a rapper. He went on tour with the Fugees in the 90s.
My God.
You know, he knows P. Diddy. Like, I mean, all these incredible things he's done with his life, you know? And we were talking about the law of attraction and stuff like that. But he was telling me that he was doing, he was going to be doing a thing in Vegas with an Irish law of attraction practitioner named Ali O'Shea. Okay, now I'd never heard of her. And he's like, yeah, she's this big, you know, she's a really, really, you know, well-known international law of attraction practitioner. But she's from Ireland. And I was like, I just had this mental thing. I was like, she's from Ireland, is she? And I just thought, I just made a mental note. I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll reach out to her at the end of this call. You know, I just had the thought. Like. And so we had an interview. The interview was fantastic. It was absolutely amazing. And if anyone wants to check out that interview, it's linker.fm/journeywithin. And it's Supercharging the Law of Attraction. It's a pretty cool title.
Wow, so, you're good with that.
But you can check that episode out, Supercharging the Law of Attraction. But yeah, so he basically said she was Irish or whatever. So I got off the call and I just decided to check her out. You know, I went on Facebook. I was looking her up. I saw her. She had 5,000 friends. So, you know, when people have 5,000 friends on Facebook, you can't add any more. And that's the limit. But whatever happened anyway, I went and I added her as a friend. And literally 30 seconds later, boom, she accepted me. She sends me this message saying, oh, thanks for reaching out or thanks for adding me. And we just started chatting. We just started talking. Like, and next thing we were just like, like talking and relating about stuff and joking and having a laugh. Like, and literally, like, the crazy thing is I ended up going out to her house a week later and meeting her family and having a barbecue. And now we're such good friends. Do you know what I mean? And
this celebrity. And then
that's what I mean. She's known all over the world for the law of attraction. Like, do you know what I mean? So, I mean, she's a really good friend of mine now. And she's, you know, she's introduced, she's added me to groups and stuff like that with all these other like-minded people. And the stuff that's happened in my life since meeting her has just, you know, exploded. Like, things are just coming left, right, and center for me. So it's like,
wow.
It's all this stuff I've been talking about for years with the law of attraction, like, you know, to my family and my friends and, you know, all this stuff about believing in what's possible and, you know, understanding that it's all about the people that you surround yourself with. Like, I'm starting to experience that more and more now. So it's like, it's real. It's not bullshit. Like, you know, people think it's bullshit. It's pie in the sky. It's floaty, floaty, wishy-washy spiritual crap. And it can be, okay? But, you know, you have to have a balance of logic and emotion, you know? But if you have your feet firmly on the ground, okay, but you also believe in what's possible for yourself and, you know, your dreams and stuff like that and the things that you really, really feel that you want to do, you're going to get them. You know, you just got to have faith in yourself, believe in yourself, push forward, break through that fear, the terror barrier. Bob Proctor calls it the terror barrier. And that's when you've got a load of fear in front of you, there's something that you want to do. For example, this live call tonight, this is my first live. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? But now I'm just like, you know what? I don't care anymore. Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm providing value for people. So I'm doing something that I believe in. So it doesn't matter. You know, it's not about how I feel. It's about the value that I can provide. So again, it's the same thing. And now I'm looking back at myself half an hour ago going, what was wrong with me? You know? That's what I was talking about before. It's like your fears are false expectations appearing real. Okay. Expectations appearing real, and we build them up like the boogeyman. Do you remember when you were a kid and I don't know, obviously in Colombia it was different, but like we had this thing in Ireland where like the boogeyman, it was called the boogeyman, is this scary man that lived in the cupboard, like, or he lived in the closet, you know, the monster in the closet.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you're scared of this monster in the closet, and you know, you go to bed at night and you're afraid it's a monster in the closet. But then as you get older, you realize, hang on a minute, there is no monster in the closet. All fear is like that. Unless you're fighting in a, you know, in a combat situation where you're actually defending your life, every other fear is imaginary. You know, all those fears of being judged and being ridiculed, you know, putting yourself out there, all that type of stuff, it's, you know, it's all, most of it's imaginary, you know. I think it was Mark Twain said that most of the things I feared in my life never came true.
Mm-hmm.
He did say that, yeah. And that's it.
All of us. So what is it? False expectations becoming
appearing real.
Appearing real. Okay, I'm going to write.
False expectations appearing real.
Wow.
It's like fear, like I always think, it's like a mirage in the desert, you know, it's something that you see and you think it's there, but it's not there. It's not really there. And it's like, there's another saying as well. It says, what was it? It's fear knocked on the door. Yeah, fear knocked on the door and faith answered. And nobody was there.
Oh.
Fear knocked on the door, faith answered, and no one was there.
Wow.
That's deep. The thing is, like, even I'm looking at you now, Natalia, and I can see you going, bing, I can see that light bulb kind of coming, you know, coming around that realization. And that's what it's all about for me. It's all about, you know, getting people to just have those realizations where they just go, oh my God, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't stuff that's, as I said, it's not pointing in the sky. It's real. It's logical. You've got to be presented it in a way that you understand. And in a way that, you know, makes sense to people. And that's, you know, that's what I'm all about with my message and stuff like that. So I hope that answers your question.
Definitely. And I think you make things clear when they are complicated. It's easy for you to explain them in a clear way. That's why I wanted to have you here, because you make it easy and fun. And yeah, like, we want to learn it. Why not? So that's why you're here. Little Phoenix.
Thanks,
friend. Yeah, because we're Phoenix brothers and sisters. Yeah, because we were talking about that last interview when Nigel was interviewing me, and he was saying, like, yeah, you're like a Phoenix raising from the ashes. And actually, he is as well. We are both like this Phoenix.
I know. Yeah, that's another episode people can go and check out. The Rise of the Phoenix.
Hey, give me your link for your podcast, so we can.
Can I do it on this?
Do it, yeah. Or you can send it to me, and you can send it to me in a chat. Do you see the chat there? So I can post it here, so that everyone can see your link and can go to your podcast.
I'm on my phone here, and my phone is being very uncooperative today.
I know, it's
everything's been uncooperative today.
Resist or send it to me on Facebook, and then I'll
actually, you know what? I can just do it on my computer here.
Yeah, definitely, because you have to listen to Nigel's podcast, which is great. He's had great, great, great interviews, great guests, and he's the best host ever.
And you are a fantastic guest to have, and I'm going to have you on again, by the way. Just so
we'll see. Yeah, of course. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning, and you're going to have another life as well. You're good with that. You're going to have a life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nigel, you're like, you're telling us like pretty things, really positive things, but have you ever felt like failure, like imperfection? In your life?
Every day.
And what do you learn from it? Give us an example, because it's hard. Like when things are wrong, how do you bounce back?
Like, the thing is, okay, for me, I mean, adversity and struggle, they are necessary contrasts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're not going to know what's good if you don't know what's bad. You're not going to know up if you don't know down.
Okay.
So, you know, when you're going through struggle, when you're going through adversity, you know, it can be tough. It's hard. It's difficult. I mean, it is. There's no denying it. You know, I know I'm an advocate of positive thinking, but I mean, at the end of the day, life is still life. You know, we're human beings. We struggle. It's painful. You know, we go through a lot of shit in our lives. You know, we all do. It's mm-hmm. part of part of who we are. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's not about not going through stuff. It's how you take that stuff that you've been through and what you do with it next. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because at the end of the day, when everything's falling down around you, you know, as long as you have that little sliver of faith inside, you know, that as long as you're holding on to your, you know, that tiny little bit of positivity, things will turn around again. How do I know that? Because they always do. They always do, don't they? I mean, they do. They always turn around again, but you've got to understand it's like a wave, you know, the wave and the particle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a wave, you know, sometimes you're up at the top of the crest, sometimes you're at the bottom, but it's about remembering the middle of that wave. You know, it's about keeping the balance. And one thing one of my managers said to me years ago, my first sales job, she said, because she knew I was a passionate kind of person, and, you know, she said to me, she goes, Nigel, don't get too high with the highs or too low with the lows.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that, you know, it's important to have a level balance, you know, with regards to your mindset in your life. You know, when things are going really, really well, be grateful for them, but don't get carried away. You know, a lot of times, you know, they say that, like, you know, the biggest opportunities are in the biggest disasters. Like, you know, say during World War II, and, you know, a lot of people obviously, you know, the economies were destroyed, you know, a lot of people lost their lives, all that stuff. But basically then you had guys coming in, like entrepreneurs coming in and buying up all the properties that were worth mm-hmm. nothing. And, you know, what I mean? So it's like, you know, there's always an opposite. There's always, you can use the shit that you go through in life and you can use it against yourself, or you can use that shit and you can turn it into gold. You can turn it into rocket fuel. You know, you can use it to propel yourself to the next level. You know, so, I mean, look, adversity is just a part of life. It's, you know, we go through negative times. Sometimes we lose hope, we lose faith. Things piss us off, people piss us off. That's life, you know, but it's not about not going through that. It's not about avoiding it. It's who you become as a result of going through that.
Mm.
It's who you become as a result of going through that. So yeah, it's just about being objective and realizing that, you know, we all struggle. We all go through stuff, you know, but at the end of the day, if you can come out the other side and you can have more compassion for other people because you can relate to their struggles,
mm.
you can help them because you understand them, well, then that's empowering, isn't it? Because if you don't go through any shit in your life and then you meet people who have gone through stuff, how can you relate to those people? How can you help those people? How can you understand them? You can't. It's only by going through stuff yourself that you can be empathic and you can be compassionate to other people who are going through stuff. And then you're making a difference in their life. You're making a difference because you're giving advice that's founded on experience. You're not just yabbering away. Like the stuff I talk about, people might think, oh, I'm just Mr. Positive, happy, happy. But I've been through this shit, man. I've gone through it. You know, I've experienced it. All the stuff that I talk about, it's stuff that I've been through. And that's why I'm passionate about it. And that's why I believe in it, because I know it's true, because I've been through it. You know, and it's just important to be grateful for the struggle that we go through in life. Now, I know the next time I go through a struggle, I'm not going to be grateful. I'm going to be like, oh, why does this shit have to happen? But at the end of the day, when you look back afterwards, and you go, okay, wow, that's actually made me into a stronger person. That's made me, you know, more compassionate.
Learn about it.
It's raised my consciousness to the next level. It's enhanced my copability. That's another concept, you know, I kind of just realized recently, like copability, the ability to cope with things in life. You know, you should always be working on your copability. And struggle and adversity does that for you. It's like a training. It's like if you try and imagine life as training, it's a training ground. You know, it's a training ground for your psychology. It's a training ground for your, you know, your spiritual well-being. It's a training ground for your health and fitness. I mean, if you just think of it as training, well, then you're training to become stronger. You're training to become better. You're training to become a better person. Do you know what I mean? And if you look at life that way, that it's a training ground for your development, you're unstoppable.
And I think that life doesn't give you lessons that you cannot accomplish.
Yeah, that's a cool philosophy. But the crazy thing is, when you're going through it, you don't believe that.
Yeah, you don't believe that. But yeah, that's what I kind of tell myself. Like, if life knew that I couldn't go through this, I wouldn't be leaving this or going through this thing. So it's kind of what
exactly.
But yeah, it's not that easy when you're like in the middle of
But when you're in the middle, exactly, yeah, you find it so tough and you're like, you can't see a way out. And this is the case, like you and me are talking about this now, but I mean, everybody listening knows what we're talking about. They've been through it as well themselves. I mean, as I said, it's part of the human experience. So, but again, it comes back to perception. And this is what's so beautiful about perception. Like, perception. You know, it just comes back around all the time. It's all about perception. What are you going to do with the stuff you've been through in your life? You had a shitty childhood. Your girlfriend broke your heart. You know, your partner left you. You know, your business partner screwed you over, screwed you out of money. Whatever it is, look, we all have our stories. We all have our baggage. You know, I could sit here and talk about all the crap I've been through in my life, you know, and complain about it. But at the end of the day, what's that going to do? That's not going to do anything. That's just going to reinforce my own, you know, negative bias story about why things aren't the way I want them to be in my life. It's perception. Again, it's coming back to perception. So, you know, I just think having a positive mindset is so, so important, but being objective at the same time, you know, and just having that understanding that, you know, the fact that you're here and the fact that you woke up this morning, you know, that's it. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, if you think about, like, the chance of your parents meeting each other, you know, when you hear about your parents, they met each other at somewhere, or all these different possibilities occurred. And if she hadn't made that phone call that night, she never would have met him. If she hadn't put on that pair of shoes, you know, all these like seemingly like just absolutely improbable things occur. And then all of a sudden a person comes out of it, like you were created out of all these supposedly impossible things. Like, I mean, if you think about the wonder of that and the miracle, as you said, of that, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I mean, statistically, we shouldn't be here. You know, I mean, if you look at it that way, I mean, do you know what I mean? So it's the paradox of life. It's the paradox of life. So, I mean, if it's impossible that you should be here, well, then your dreams aren't impossible either because you're here.
You're here.
You know, you're here.
Okay. You're here and you're accomplishing them. That's
exactly. Great. Exactly.
We could be like here talking for hours.
I know. Yeah. We were supposed to start at 7:45, but we only started at what, 7:15, was it?
Yeah, but we did it. You did it because it was problems with technology.
I failed my way to success because I made it in the end, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Changed your perception because I was scared. Like, Nigel, we're not going to do that this day. And I said, we're going to figure it out. Don't worry. Don't worry.
I sent a winky face and I said, don't worry about it.
Nigel, to finish, we have to finish.
Okay.
Malheureusement, like they say in French. But this podcast, the message of this podcast is like to embrace our uniqueness, like to help women and men as well to embrace our uniqueness and to go beyond this imperfection which doesn't exist. We are already perfect. What is your uniqueness? What do you think is your uniqueness?
My uniqueness is just always looking for, you know, solutions like to things. You know, I'm always trying to figure things out, you know. Like, I have been accused of being an overthinker, and I am an overthinker. But, you know, for me, I do that in a way to, you know, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it's like, yeah, I'm just always trying to figure stuff out, you know. I'm always trying to get to the next level and try and see things in the best way possible. You know, try and perceive things. Again, perception, here we go again. Yeah, it's perception. That's my thing.
Definitely. And that's how you manifest. Wonderful thing. Yeah. Cool. And what you already gave us a lot of advice, but could you give women that are looking at us, that are seeing us, three strategies or three tools to create a better reality? What would you tell them?
Gratitude, number one. Being grateful. Like, start with the little things, like, you know, the smallest things. When you wake up in the morning, just, you know, you can start being grateful for the fact that you can breathe. You can start being grateful for the fact that you woke up in a comfortable bed. You know, you've got to, you know what I mean? I mean, you can start with the most supposedly insignificant of things and you can build up, you know, and just, it's about cultivating that emotion of gratitude. It's about cultivating that emotion of appreciation, because there's no greater joy in life than truly appreciating someone or something. Or some, you know what I mean, some event or some experience, you know. So appreciation, I would say, is also important. Again, relationships with people, just, you know, seeking to improve your relationships with your friends, with your family, you know, telling your friends that you care about them, telling, you know, being more open, being more authentic, being more genuine with people, you know, expressing yourself, you know, and just, you know, contributing and feeling that kind of sense of contribution, you know, with the people around you. And then the third thing would just be self-acceptance, self-compassion, self-love, you know, just learning to love yourself and learn to accept yourself. Because at the end of the day, if you don't love yourself and you don't accept yourself, you know, how are you going to love and accept others? Do you know what I mean? And this is a lifelong struggle for me. You know, I'm always beating myself up about stuff. And sometimes, like, you know, it's just, again, it comes back to part of the human condition. But if you can work on it and cultivate it and just have that kind of intention to just learn to accept yourself more. Because if you accept yourself and then you're around other people, they feel that self-acceptance, and that encourages them to accept themselves. You see, this isn't about being selfish, and that's another thing. Like, people think self-love is about being selfish. It's not. It's about giving yourself permission to accept yourself and love yourself for who you are, so that you can subconsciously give others in your life that same permission.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that you associate with, it's giving them that permission, because any work that you do on yourself will ripple out into other people's lives, you know? So that would be my three.
Great. Nigel, thank you very much for all these lessons, for empowering.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, Natalia. It was a pleasure.
See you in the next time. We'll be together again.
Absolutely.
Thank you for being here. Bye-bye. Ciao.
See ya.
Thanks so much for joining me on this episode today, guys. I really, really appreciate your support. If you had any breakthroughs or realizations during this episode, I'd really love to hear about them. You can comment on the Journey Within Facebook page. You can write a review on the podcast platform, or you can even email me directly at nigelmiller.ie@gmail.com. And if you feel you gained immense value from this episode, donations through PayPal are always appreciated. Also, is there something in your life that you find yourself struggling with? Is it something that you feel maybe I could help you with? If so, feel free to go ahead and book a free 15-minute consultation with me at calendly.com/journeywithin. That's calendly.com/journeywithin.